From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Back in 2017, Peyton McGriff, a college student at the University of Idaho, started a project that would change her life and ultimately the lives of hundreds of other girls. Born out of a class assignment, this Idaho native came up with a nonprofit that aimed to remove one of the biggest financial barriers that keep girls from finishing their education in Togo, Africa. And that's access to a school uniform. Fast forward to today. That nonprofit, which is called Style Her Empowered, has grown to serve 20 communities in Togo. And Peyton herself was recently named a 2024 CNN Hero. She's joining us today to talk more about her nonprofit, as well as the impact that it's had on her. Peyton, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start at the very beginning. What first inspired the idea for this nonprofit?
Yeah, it actually came from a book called Half the Sky. It talks about the plight of women around the world. And in this book, I learned that 130 million girls around the world are not in school. And what surprised me was one of the largest financial barriers to education was a required school uniform. And so that idea really stuck with me. And it wasn't until my final semester of college that I took an entrepreneurship class and decided, okay, maybe we can try to create a nonprofit business model around school uniforms and providing those for girls.
So you visited Africa. Did you do this during the time you were taking that class, or was it after?
It was actually during the class. So the start of She was really a whirlwind. I enrolled in this class, like I said, the final semester of school. At the time, I was interviewing for a different job, but I met a professor at my university who was from Togo originally, and he heard the idea that I was exploring around school uniforms and girls' education. And he said, you know, I actually like this idea. I think it would be a really good fit in my hometown. If you're serious, I'll partner with you to get this started on one condition. You have to come to Togo first and make sure it's a good fit for the local community. So about 10 days after I met him, he just so happened to be leading a student trip to Togo. And I hurried and got everything together to arrive in Togo 11 days later to conduct some of those initial interviews.
Okay, so you went to the town of Noche in Togo on this trip. What did the lives of girls and women look like?
Yeah, I mean, it was such an important learning experience for me. I met one girl in particular, her name's Alolo, and I asked if I could spend a day in her life. And so we woke up at 3:30 a.m. to start the household chores of fetching water, cooking breakfast for her family members, helping prepare the rice that her mother would sell, all the way up until getting her ready for school. And then in the evening, that all happens again. She is responsible for 100% of household chores, which is very common for girls in Togo. So it was very evident that there is a tremendous amount of responsibility and expectation on girls to be contributing to the household. And that's one of the factors that contributes to families pulling their girls out of school early so they can kind of continue helping at home.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the nonprofit itself and how it works, because it's kind of changed over the years when it comes to the school uniform itself. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have definitely evolved and grown into a much more holistic program. So as you mentioned, we started with school uniforms because that was the number one barrier. But we've really evolved our girls' education program to be what we call a full sponsorship. So now when a girl enters our program at She not only receives a new school uniform, she receives a full tuition scholarship, reusable menstrual supplies, school supplies for the year, and then year-round tutoring from our local staff. And the original idea was to teach girls to sew their own school uniforms. But after spending a day with Alolo and realizing, you know, girls do not have any extra minutes in the day to learn this extra skill, we decided, okay, let's hire local seamstresses who are primarily young women who never had the chance to go to school in the first place. And that's where our women's employment and our paid to learn employment model began. So all of the women that we now employ at SHE have kind of a whole host of benefits that include paid time devoted to adult education, 3 months paid maternity leave, unlimited sick leave, and kind of that, they're wrapped in benefits that ensure women mm-hmm. from all different backgrounds and education levels can really thrive in the workplace.
And also, one thing you've done with the uniforms is you've made them adjustable. So the girls can use these for more than just one school year.
That's right. That's probably one of the things we're better known for are the SHE uniforms that grow. Uh-huh. That really emerged out of a need that we observed for our students. You know, after we provided our first round of 65 uniforms for girls in 2017, we recognized they were outgrowing their dresses very quickly throughout the school year. So in order to solve that logistical problem and also address that problem for girls everywhere, we designed the world's only uniform that grows, and it adjusts 6 sizes in the Wow. chest, the hips, the waist, and it grows up to 12 inches longer. So that's been a real labor of love for our team over the last few years, but we finally found the design that our students really enjoy wearing and feel really dignified wearing to school.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that, Peyton, listening to how your nonprofit has just continued to expand, right? I mean, you talked about the reusable menstrual pads, which is also such a barrier for girls mm-hmm. in Africa going to school, right? But then how you have made jobs for these young women who'd never got the opportunity to be educated. This is 7 years on now. When you took that first trip to Toche, did you have any idea of what this would become?
Definitely not. So much of what we've been able to achieve together has really come as just the most incredible surprise. You know, we are very intentional about the programs that we develop, but I think we have all been so pleasantly surprised with the scale that we've been able to reach, and now serving 20 remote communities that really don't see a lot of international development work has been such a rewarding experience, and building those partnerships based on trust and our local leadership, that has been probably, you know, the most rewarding and important part of how we operate, is really leaning into our local leadership. So it's been a huge surprise, so much of SHE, we are just honored to be able to do this work.
Why was it so important for you to make sure that you kept this nonprofit locally driven? What I mean by that is, as we talked about, you have a team of women working in the area that you are serving. I mean, I would assume you could have had these uniforms made in the U.S. and shipped over to Africa, but why make the conscious decision to not do that?
There's, you know, a lot of reasons, but I'd say the two most important factors are local women understand the challenges and the solutions in their communities far better than I ever could. And so that's been such an important grounding principle for us, is to really invest in the local women who can really make the decisions that are most culturally sensitive in their region. And in addition, job creation. It's always been so important to us that we create jobs for girls and women and stimulate the local economies, so that as our girls age through the education system, there's a more developed and stable economy there waiting for them. So it's kind of this, you know, synergistic model, investing mm-hmm. in girls' education and women's employment simultaneously, because long-term progress, long-term development has always been our goal.
How many girls are you able to serve every year?
So right now we have 1,500 girls in our program. This fall we'll be adding 500 students to reach a total of 2,000. And we currently employ 34 women in Togo. So that is our primary service area now.
So as I mentioned when I was introducing you, you were recently named a CNN 2024 hero. What was that like to find out you had been given this distinction?
Ugh. Probably one of the biggest honors I've ever received, you know, and it's something that I think our whole team feels honored by. So that's been really special. When CNN announced to us that we were chosen this year, they were really intentional about sending a crew to Togo to film our local team, filming me here in Idaho to really represent the story of she and the women that are now empowering and leading in their local communities. So that was just not only an incredible honor, but the way they told our story was just such, you know, we felt so seen and mm-hmm. our work felt understood. And so I think that was, you know, just really meaningful for us.
What is your hope for the future of she?
Our hope and our goal has always been to build a model that we can replicate in regions around the world. So we have a vision for really expanding our reach within Togo and beyond Togo. So growth and expansion is really, really our goal. We've seen the impact of our program. Last year, we had 99.1% of our students pass their classes and national exams, which is a tremendous achievement for girls. And so we have verified the model, the impact of our programs, and now we're really ready to grow.
Before I let you go, Peyton, how can folks contribute if they would like to help out with SHE?
Yeah, one of the most incredible ways to support our program is to sponsor a year of education for our girls. Just $50 provides a full year of education for a girl in Togo, and that can be done through our website. And that helps us reach that goal of 2,000 students this back to school season.
Wow. Well, Peyton, what incredible work you are doing. Thank you so much for the conversation today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.